First thing we're going to look at is verse 9 of the passage in Luke, where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And as I said, he gave a somewhat abbreviated version of the one, or Luke recorded it as an abbreviated version of what we have over in Matthew. That's okay. It's still the Lord's Prayer, and it's a good outline for our prayer. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus goes beyond that, because it's not just praying, but how we pray. The passage up here in verses 2 through 4 tell us what we pray about, but when we get down into verse 9, it tells us how we pray for them. And so when it says here, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." And I took that as a one-time event. I don't need to nag God. Amen? I don't need to say, "God, I need this. God, I need this." 3 days later, "God, I still need this. God, I need this." I felt that I was that it exemplified a lack of God's willingness to answer our prayer if I had to keep on asking about it. And so I had been telling people, just shut up, ask the question, and wait for God to answer. All right? But here, Jesus is telling us something completely different. Because in verse 9, the word that is translated "ask" is the Greek word aiteta, all right, which means, you know, to ask, but it's in the present active imperative voice, which means to ask and keep on asking, to search, to seek, and keep on seeking, to knock and to keep on knocking. And so, you know, hey, I'm getting old and my memory isn't what it used to be. I forget things. Okay? And so, sometimes my wife has to remind me of certain things. And then if it happens to be one of those things that I do remember, well, then I get all gruff and short with it. "I know that. I remember that. I'm not that old that I can't remember." But then again, the next thing that she reminds me about will probably be something I've completely forgotten about. All right? God doesn't forget anything. But I believe that this is what God is trying to teach us in this passage here today, is that He wants us to remember where the source of blessing is, where our blessings come from. And we go to Him and we ask and keep on asking. Now, you've heard it said by so many preachers, so many different believers, that prayer is a two-way street. It's a two-way conversation, right? Okay, so prayer is us presenting our petitions, that's why they're called petitions, presenting them before God, but then the question arises, how does He respond? "God, I need this. I'm in the process here of asking. I'm asking for Terry's healing. And I've been asking for decades for Terry's healing. And I'm seeking for Terry's healing. And I'm knocking for Terry's healing." Okay? That's my side of the conversation. Where, if prayer is a two-way conversation, how does God answer our prayer? And some of you might say, "Oh, well, the Holy Spirit might come back in this conversation and give us something. Or he might answer our prayer by just doing it. You know, the old genie in a bottle trick. No, he's not the genie in a bottle. He is the Lord God Almighty, creator of everything seen and unseen. You just don't. There are some people, there are some pastors that you come to my church, I will teach you how to pray. I have found a formula to prayer that if you pray in this formula, God must answer your prayer. And I'm saying, you're walking close to the edge there, Bubba. That's kind of close to blasphemy right there. You know, God doesn't need, and you can't put God in an ark like, oh, okay, I give up, Dale. Okay, here's the answer to your prayer. No, that can't do that. All right? But one of the main ways is for us to spend time in God's Word. Now, let me remind you of an event. Jesus, the night before his sacrifice, next day he's going to the cross. And so he takes his disciples, takes the main group, says, y'all pray for me. He takes the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, goes further into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, now, I want you guys to be interceding with me. And then Jesus goes on ahead and he prays. And he comes back, and what does he find? They're all sleeping. And Jesus' question was, could you not wait with me? Would you not pray with me for 1 hour? And I believe that this is God's introductory measurement of time for prayer. He'd like us to spend an hour each day. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can think of enough things to pray about in an hour. Now you're trying to be a conversation hog. Alright? You're having a conversation with God. So, what I have found in the times that I have been closest to God in discerning His will is when I just shut out the outside world and I grab my Bible and maybe a few Bible commentaries. And I start reading His Word, and I'm praying. And I'll keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knocking, keep on knocking. And then I'm reading His Word. And there is a special thing about God's Word. Because it reveals to us that His Word is the living Word. What does that mean? They're just not letters on a piece of paper. His Word is alive and powerful. And it literally can take on a different meaning each time that you read it. Every time you read it, you're coming to God with a different set of circumstances. You're coming to God with a little bit different point of view than what you had last time. And so now your spirit man or your spirit woman is going to be more attuned to hearing things in this particular way. And when you come to the Lord and you tarry for an hour, if you can, and you've got your little prayer list, you're praying about things that are important to you. This is the time for grandkids. This is the time for children. This is the time for our country. This is when we're truly, truly seeking God. Or somebody has come up to you, requested, will you pray with me? Will you agree with me? And so you spend some time doing that, and then you open up God's Word and you start reading. And it's interesting how God will take a passage of Scripture that in its original context had nothing to do with the question that you're asking, but it'll sure enough have the answer to it. Amen? And so I have found that if you are trying to develop, and I think that an hour would be a good goal for us to get to, it may take us a little while to kind of get in that groove. Right? And what I have decided, and I'm trying to do this, it's taken me, I've decided I need to go to bed early at night so I can get up early in the morning, and Sister Carrie will be saying, you've been saying that for months. Yeah, I know, but I'm truly trying to get there. Why? Because that's how I want to start my day. I want to go ahead and grab a little bit of toast and jam and an orange juice or something, and then grab my Bible and just sit there before the rest of the world comes knocking and read the Word and lift up my son and what he's going through to the Lord. Then read the Word a little bit more. Lift up my daughter, what she's going through. And then get back into that Word. And all of a sudden, I'm having a two-way conversation with God. Because the Bible is the Word of God. It's His part of this conversation. Our petitions, outside of the praise and the worship, our petitions are our part of the two-way conversation, and His Word is His part of that conversation. And so I would just challenge you to try that, okay? Just try it. Maybe you can do it for 15 minutes. It's important enough to me that I have decided there are some nights I can't get to bed at 9 o'clock. The pizza place on Sunday night and Wednesday night doesn't close till 10 o'clock. So if I'm going to stop and get the pizza, you know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock before I get home. If I'm on Tuesday nights, I have a meeting that I go to that, you know, I'll be out until 10 o'clock. But if through the rest of the week I can make it a real effort to get to bed early, then I can get up earlier. Now, Bob and Jeanette, they've already got me beat on this because they go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and they're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so they have already arranged their schedule to accommodate this. But I would just encourage you, that question that Jesus asked His disciples, couldn't you tarry 1 hour with me? Couldn't you tarry 1 hour? That just keeps coming back to me. Like He's asking me, Dale, with all that I've blessed you with, the impact that I've given you for the cross, couldn't you have just tarried for 1 hour with me? And that's the challenge that I am receiving. And I'm not going to step into God's shoes and be so bold as to challenge you with that. But I would encourage you to say, okay, I'm going to do this two-way conversation thing. I'm going to grab my Bible, and if it's cold outside, I'm going to grab my Afghan. If it's hot outside, I might turn the air conditioning down just a little bit so I can get good and comfortable, and I'm going to curl up in my favorite chair. And I'm going to take these things to the Lord, and then at the same time, I'm going to open up His Word, and I'm going to look for His answer in that. And I would like some testimonies in coming weeks, not to, oh, Pastor, I did it for a whole hour or 2 hours. The length of time isn't important. What is important is that you open this door to God, and this is how He stepped through. Amen? Can we do that? All right, let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful.